Coming up on podcast 1336, your answers to question of the week, and we say thanks to our Patreon supporters at the end as well. Stick around. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. Second one for Sunday night of January. Martin here, going through every EV story, so you don't have to. So, question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com. This week was suggested by one of your fellow listeners, Joshua Pritt. I rent where home charging is not an option. Luckily, in my neighbourhood, there are two different free charging stations within a 20-minute walk. So, it's a trade-off. I have to walk after commuting from work, but I get some light exercise and no fuel costs. Interesting, Carl. So what, do you leave your vehicle on the charger all night? Or is it a kind of leave it, have dinner, come back a couple of times a week? I'd love to know, like, the routine of how you do that. Hi to Eddie Ragassa. I live in an apartment and we have Blink Level 2 AC chargers installed throughout the complex. However, it can be costly at 49 cents per kilowatt hour if you're a Blink member. For guests, it's 59 cents per kilowatt hour. What I do is use a split volt NEMA 1030 switch. And he's put a little link to splitvolt.com in the I'll pop it in the show notes if it could be of interest or use to you from your fellow listener. My dryer plugs into the split volt. The 50-foot NEMA 1030 extension cord plugs into the other socket on the split volt, and the split volt plugs into the dryer outlet. Automatic switching between the two. The EV charger plugs into the other end of the extension cord, and using my local utility and charging during off-peak hours, I pay 0.03 cents per kilowatt hour. The one issue with the Blink chargers is everyone does not know how to park into those spots. If you're not an EV, in an EV, and when you do need to use those chargers, you can't because ICE cars are parked all in them. Our apartment complex management is starting to have those cars towed. That's amazing. Sometimes you go up to a hotel and you're staying at a hotel. You've booked a hotel because it has EV charging and the spots are iced, and you tell reception and they just look at you and they're like, what are you going to do? So sorry about that. So Eddie, that's amazing that your apartment block management, or your apartment management, is actually taking that really seriously and getting people out of those spots when you need to charge. That is great news. Hello, Sofiona. Fiona Menzies says, I've owned a Nissan Leaf for almost 3 years now, living in an apartment, and I must admit, some days it would just be easier to get home and plug it in, like I always hear you say on your podcast when talking about how EVs are better than gas. You just get home, plug it in, and forget about it. But it's really easy to drive an electric car, as I have a couple of options. I have access to charging at my workplace, although a couple of us have to coordinate and share one level 2 charger. Also, I regularly see my parents and charge on their wall box. Brilliant. Okay, thank you. Craig Matsura says, I don't own an EV yet. However, if I didn't have a garage and to charge at, I would depend on work EV charging, DC fast chargers, and destination chargers at stores. Fortunately for myself, I have a home with a garage and a driveway, and I can charge my EV, my future EV, there. Hi to Tony P. Now, Tony says, I live in London and I drive a 2020 Model 3 from Tesla. Most of my work takes me past one or two Tesla superchargers. So I use those and only ever need to top up on a local charging post at Shell or Tesco on a rare occasion. He says, I'm sure one day when EVs are more popular, there's a risk of overcrowding. But so far, I've never had to wait to charge, although often the Tesla supercharger is almost full and people are sharing the power. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, some people would feel that they don't want to supercharge, only supercharge their car, because it could possibly degrade the battery prematurely compared to level 2 and slow charging. But hey, if you don't think you're going to have that car very long, if you don't think that's going to be an issue, look, Tesla batteries now are pretty bulletproof. Yes, I know. Over the years, there's been recalls on the early ones. Some people call them stealth recalls because so many of those early cars have gone back and had a new battery without officially being a recall. But yes, I know, like, the early days, it was a little bit, well, they haven't aged well. Some of them have done hundreds of thousands of miles, but I get, look, if you don't worry about battery aging, and new Tesla batteries, I do think, are pretty bulletproof these days, they've already sorted it, then why not supercharge all of the time? What about costs, though, Tony? You haven't mentioned whether you've kind of got some, I don't know, free charging there from an old referral scheme that you've got to use up, or whether you just pay for charging. Could get a little bit pricey, I guess, but then again, it's still going to be cheaper than you know, the current petrol prices, which I think I mentioned recently, I don't really look at the illuminated signs outside petrol stations. I mean, why would I? But I did pull into Winchester South, which is my new, at the minute, my new favourite haunt, only because it's the right distance between London and my house in Poole to stop halfway and get a bit of a refreshment. Costa is there in the motorway services, and before Christmas they were doing some cheeky specials that came with some free chockies. Don't tell my wife, watching my weight. Yeah, right. And they've got two new grid serve units there, which are, one of them is two CCS cables, one of them is a CCS and a CHAdeMO cable. They are marked as, I think they're marked as 120 kilowatt units, but of course they're, you know, 400 volts. And so if you, depending on what car you've got, you're going to be lucky to get, I don't know, 60 or, you know, 70 kilowatts out of that, depending on how much juice, you know, your car can take. But that's a mighty fine diversion for the point of this story, which was, as you pull into the motorway services, you've got to go past the BP motorway service station. And it was like 165 or 169 for petrol or diesel per litre. I think, well, I'm so grateful I'm driving an electric car. If you really do have to fill up, it'd be cheaper if you found another petrol station not on the motorway. I get that. But still, man, that's crazy expensive. It wasn't that long ago they were converting all the signs from, you know, because it stopped at 99.9 pence and they had to make them all a bit wider. You remember? That can't have been that long ago. Or maybe I'm getting old. Right. Hi to Louise in New Mexico, who says, I don't drive an EV yet, but I'm hoping to buy one this year. Our neighbour does have an EV, though, and he runs a heavy duty extension cord out of his window and charges his car when he can get close to parking near our block. I don't know how safe that is. His makeshift solution looks okay, and it seems to work for him. She says, yeah, sounds sketchy, Louise. Sounds sketchy. No, I wouldn't do that for a couple of reasons. I would always prefer a proper EV charger, not to say that you can't use home units. And again, we're on 240 volts here, so a home charging block is going to pull about late twos, maybe 3 kilowatts. To charge an EV, which is fine, but the little 3-pin plug is going to get very, very warm and a bit toasty. And again, that's fine. They can get hot, but I don't know, you know, you don't say whether he trails the cable across a public footpath or whether it's private land or whatever, but you get into those kind of issues of, you know, I don't want someone falling over a cable that's stretched across the pavement because you could cause injury to someone. The whole thing sounds pretty sketchy. No, I wouldn't do that. I would definitely look for a different solution, maybe charge near home if you can rapid charge on your way to or from work. Perhaps, Louise, that could be a really good solution. I don't know how many miles you do, but if your commute isn't too big, you know, hopefully you can charge a couple of times a week. We do a fair amount of miles, not because of commuting, just because we're running around a lot these days. And we do get home and plug in. I'm now on an energy tariff because I was on the Agile tariff with Octopus, which changed every half an hour until this energy madness is over. And it will be over. But as you know, Putin sneezed, gas supply stopped, electricity is made from burning natural gas, and electricity prices have therefore gone through the roof. So Agile was really expensive, so I've moved to Go Faster, which gets down to 5.5 pence at 9:30 in the evening for 5 hours. And so, yes, we do have the charger come on at 9:30 every night and just kind of top up. But if we didn't, we'd charge once a week, maybe. It's amazing how far your miles will go. But let me know how you get on with buying your first EV this year, Louise. Hi to Federico, says, when we were looking for a new flat to rent last year, we only considered those which had an EV charging station installed in the parking garage, either as a shared facility or a dedicated parking spot, which we would be permitted to install or ask our landlord to. Obviously, this drastically reduces the choice of home, and we made more compromises than we would have otherwise liked, i.e. Square footage and amenities nearby, but it was totally worth it. We live in a large block now, and we have been able to have a wall box installed. He doesn't say whether he paid for that, or the landlord paid for it, or the block management paid for it, but that is great news. If you do have a dedicated parking space, and lots of people don't, but if you do have an assigned space underground or somewhere and you can have a charger installed, that is amazing. Congratulations. I'm glad you got that sorted. Right, time to set a brand new question of the week this week. Tuesday the 18th of January is the fourth anniversary of this podcast. I can't believe it'll be 4 years since I sat down for the first time in this room, in this garden studio, and said, Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. This is a really interesting time to be doing the podcast because EVs have kind of blown up. Everyone's kind of getting into them now. And I can see that from the listener figures going up, which is great. So this week, it's a bit of a self-indulgent question. I hope you'll forgive me for that. What would you like to see and hear from this show in 2022 onwards? Now, there are more EV channels around than there've ever been. When I started, there was... Well, Ryan was doing Ride the Lightning, his Tesla podcast, obviously fully charged because that's what inspired me to start this, you know, 4 years ago. But you know, you've seen the explosion of kind of so-called experts on who have YouTube channels about Tesla or what Elon Musk has tweeted. That's been a phenomenon in the last 4 years. That seems to be something that's only going to kind of increase, and I have no interest in going down that route. But in terms of this show, where you get the knowledge, the information, hopefully, you know, a little bit of entertainment occasionally, what would you like to keep? What would you change? What would you like to see done differently with EV News Daily? What could we start new? There is a little bit of budget in Patreon. Not a lot. We can't take on any staff. We haven't got like that much spare money, but I could have a freelancer do some stuff, change the logo up or something, you know, maybe a project or two. What would you like to see us do new on EV News Daily? Email me your suggestion. Honestly, I've got a pretty thick skin. I spent 20 plus years in radio, so I've had listeners call up and say, you know, you're an idiot, I hate your show, you pick terrible songs. Like, I've, you know, I'm used to getting rough feedback. This podcast provides nothing like that. I love the audience of this show. It's a different world doing this than my old career. But please be honest, and please be, you know, brutally honest if you want. You cannot offend me in any way. Email me your answers, suggestions, whatever it is, and we will make a big announcement on Tuesday, 18th of January. Maybe the day before, maybe the Monday, with the changes that we're going to be making. The address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks so much to everyone on Patreon, our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Hi to our partners, David and Lisa Allen, been supporting the show for a long time, as has Bob Boothby from Millbrook Cottages. They are five-star gold self-catering cottages. Darren McCleskey from De Novo Real Estates, been with me a long time. And Jukka Kukkonen from shift2electric.com with a number two. Hi to Rajiv Narayan, one of our most active participants in terms of sending me feedback and emails and things. Hi to Ian Sear, who's literally just this kind of week or last week, whenever it was, reduced his membership from partner to executive producer, but I'll leave it with where he is in the minute. In you spent so much money over the last year plus. And Michael Lumley as well, all of the partners of the show, thank you so much. And I mentioned for our executive producers, by the way, everyone on Patreon gets their ad free feed, so do check that out. Hi and thank you to Adam Bruton, Adrian Bond, Alan Chedd, Alex Banahili, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Andy Nankara, and Lillian Cass, Asir Khalid, Bjard Fjogstad, Bill Calhoun, Blunderbuss Jones, Brian O'Leary, Brian Thompson, Brian Bruce Bohannon, Chad Lane, Charles Hall and Christopher Barth, Colin Hennessy and the gang at Cam's EV, Craig Rogers, David Finch, David Partington, David Prescott and DCEV. Hi to Don McAllister from ScreencastsOnline.com, Ed Cortin, Eddie Ragassa, who you heard from earlier on today, Eric Hansen, Eriukuni Nyombi, Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, George Tortorolo and Heinrich Leisner. Hi to Ian Griffiths, Ian Waddy Watkins, Jacob Kuhn, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Javier Camelo, Diaz Perez, Jim Morris, John Troder, John Vandervoort and John, who is Beardy McBeardface from legendary Ken TVs. John Manchak, Juan Gonzalez, Kevin Madison, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Ward, Marty Young, Matty Yukimo, Mike Winter, Mike Wise, and Nathan Gore Brown. Nathaniel Friedman, Neil E. Roberts from Sussex EVs, Ohad Aston, Paul Stevenson, Pete Bremmy, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts, and Phil Mouchet, Philip Troutman, Roman Rowledge, Realtor's Choice Photography, and Rene Kimmick. Rob from the RS Thinks EV channel on YouTube. Check it out. Hi to Robbie NY, Robert Grace, Rupert Mitchell, Seiki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas Cook, Thomas JTS, Todd Oakes, and the Plug Seekers EV YouTube channel. Have a good one tomorrow, and remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.